Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live from Rogers Field Ground here in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Chilly and overcast today to follow up the severe amount of rain that we got yesterday. Of course, yesterday was the wedding here at Porkfest.
And great wedding, by the way.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. I mean, you know, every event has its share of difficulties and that kind of a thing. And, you know, this was no exception. But overall, everybody had a great time. There was not anybody that I saw or bumped into who was like, man, this thing's, you know, nobody had anything negative to say about the whole thing. And the party went on until the wee hours and good times were had.
Yeah, it was absolutely enjoyable. I loved it. And I think everyone who took part in it, like, had a good time. It was a very weird experience, though. Like, I'm not, like, used to, I don't want to say being in charge, because there's an anarchist wedding and no one is in charge, right? And that was especially true yesterday.
Yeah.
There were people asking me questions, and like, I don't have the answer to this. Why are you asking me? I don't know.
Right.
The photographer asked me if I had seen someone else or something, or if I knew where they were supposed to set up. I was like, well, I'm an anarchist, and the two people getting married are anarchists, so do whatever you want.
Right, yeah.
Just don't hurt anyone and don't take their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what ended up happening. Of course, the wedding was delayed by about 15 minutes. Like, right before the wedding was due to start, there was a medical incident.
I haven't said anything about this yet, but what I will say about it is that Nikki, in her wedding gown, was so stunning that one of the groomsmen had a little bit of an issue and had needed to be tended to by the paramedics.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, but of course no one had seen Nikki at that point. Only the bridesmaids and I think myself had seen Nikki at that point, so this person hadn't seen her.
Right.
He had some sort of medical issue.
I like my story better.
They had to call an ambulance, and we waited, and I had to make an announcement letting people know, hey, there's been a medical issue, so just be chill, be patient. And then, surprisingly, the ambulance got here within like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They were insanely fast. I'd never seen an ambulance arrive that quickly inside of an actual city.
Right, yeah.
And here we are in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. They got here within 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
By 5:15, within 20 minutes of this happening, they had this guy loaded up and they had departed.
Yep.
And then the wedding proceeded as normal, except, of course, for the rain, which wasn't really an issue. I knew yesterday, as soon as the day started, that I was going to get wet all day long.
Yeah.
So I make peace with that very early on. But it was a candle lighting ceremony, and it perhaps was not the most put together of ideas, right? Well, it wasn't put together at all. Nikki gave me a script and goes, okay, here's this. And I didn't realize until yesterday that I was the sound engineer for the wedding, so to speak. Like, I was the one tasked with setting everything. You provided the speakers.
Yep.
And like that, then everyone just went up. I got no direction about what to do.
Right, yeah.
I was told that there needed to be music after the ceremony.
Yep.
And the person who's doing that, frustratingly, the person whose phone was doing the intro music before the wedding and who started doing the music after the ceremony, apparently doesn't know how Bluetooth works.
Wandered away?
It wandered away repeatedly. And I'm like, well, first of all, you're at a wedding. If you don't need your phone, just set it down.
Yeah.
Or put it in your pocket. But like, so that was frustrating. Every few minutes, the music just like cut out, and then it would return. It's like, I'm going to go find this guy and choke him. But it was otherwise very beautiful. I messed up a lot during the ceremony, as one is likely to do. It's not the satanic script that I would normally have used. Like I said, Nikki provided it.
Yeah.
I did my best to memorize it, but I've got a lot in my brain these days, and
sure,
my ability to memorize things was not, you know, at 100% capacity. Plus, I only got it like a week ago,
yeah,
so I didn't have a lot of time to prepare and memorize it.
It was like me trying to memorize the lyrics for Broken Man.
Yeah, more or less.
Before we played it.
And it was a lot of talking. Probably among the most talking I've seen within a wedding ceremony, possibly in my whole life. And I haven't been to a lot of weddings, so...
How many have you performed?
I've only performed... None. But yesterday...
But this was first. Okay, yes. So for your first one, I think it went off pretty well.
Yeah, I think it went fine. Yeah. I mean, there were no major issues. Yeah. I went off script a number of times, and I wish I had gone off script more. But I didn't want to, because I didn't want to feel like I was ruining Nikki's special day. You know, weddings are very important to people.
Yes.
And she gave me this script, so I tried to stick to it as much as possible. But that's not in my nature, right? I had a script for when I,
you're
at my citizen hearing.
Yeah.
At my citizen hearing, I had a script. When I spoke in favor of CACR 32, the secession bill here in New Hampshire, I had a script. On both of those occasions, I was like, yeah, I brought this thing to read, but I'm not going to read that. I'd rather just talk to you directly.
Right.
Because that's just more in my nature. As you mentioned, I'm more of an ad libber. However, I didn't want to screw up her wedding. And in hindsight, Nikki knew what she was getting into when she asked me to be the officiator.
Oh, yeah.
So I should have been a little bit more loose in that regard and more willing to ad lib instead of having to pause to read what I was supposed to say next. I should have just made something up. But all in all, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The only real issue during the ceremony, of course, was that the candles didn't want to light.
Stay lit, yeah.
And that's really awkward when I'm standing up there saying, these candles are representative of your uniqueness, your autonomy, your individuality, and use them together. Oh, they went out as you got married. Sorry about that. Pay no mind to that, people. That's not symbolic
of anything.
You should
have got those trick candles that stay lit.
Someone had mentioned that, but you got to get them lit in the first place
for those to work. And of course, hindsight is always 20/20. You look back on a thing and you're like, oh, maybe if I'd have done that or whatever. You can't really critique yourself that hard. I think it was fine. Everybody had a good time. You did well. Having never done that before, I thought you showed some leadership. It was great.
Thanks. Well, leadership doesn't come naturally to me, but I realized at one point that I was the one with the microphone, so then someone had to make an announcement. I was like,
I neglected to bring... I was going to bring a microphone and a cable for my speakers so that folks, if they needed to say something or whatever during the toast, if they wanted a microphone, and I didn't bring it, and I would have had to dig a whole bunch of stuff out of the vehicle that I brought here.
The issue with all of that was I severely overestimate the average person's ability to do anything in regard to technology. Like the guy who was controlling the music, and in order to switch to the microphone, you had to manually press a button to switch it to auxiliary or mic input or whatever input, and then afterward switch back to Bluetooth. And then whoever's person was using the Bluetooth would have to reconnect to the device and resume playing the music.
Right.
And that is a big hurdle for people, apparently. Like, I had to step this dude through this repeatedly yesterday. Like, okay, now you have to reconnect afterward. Press this button 3 times, then reconnect, and then press the playlist again.
It's right.
It's so obvious to me that I wouldn't even think about giving those instructions to someone. So I tried to keep it as simple as possible. And that was why afterward I felt it was easier to have the microphone going to one particular speaker.
Agreed.
And the music going through another speaker. Quality and all of that crap aside, I got tired of trying to direct people to, like, either one, just give me the Bluetooth and tell me what playlist you want because I know how to do this stuff, or two, we're going to find a different situation that requires minimal effort from me.
Yeah, when you're a wizard, it's difficult to explain your wizardry to non-wizards.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't consider that, you know, wizardry.
You don't consider it wizardry, but you, I mean, you live in tech. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
You know, like, compared to a regular person, you know, their experience in tech is, you know, basically 2-3 steps tops. You know, download an app, open the app, do what they got to do in the app, and then that's it. They don't, you know, most folks don't comprehend networks and, you know, overlap and, you know, bleed, audio bleed, all that kind of stuff. Radio interference, right? It's just not stuff that most folks comprehend.
And I like the guy, and I don't want to sound like I'm talking crap about him or anything like that. Like, we all have our skills and stuff, and technology is just not in his, you know, forte, and that's fine. But I thought everyone, like, used Bluetooth regularly, daily, throughout their lives, right? I do this and don't even think about it. My car is Bluetooth. I get frustrated if I have to get in my car and press the play button on Spotify because it should connect automatically and start playing. So I'm just sort of used to technology being set up to work when I want it to work. And this is why I like older printers. Like, I had a printer in my studio that printed all the time, every time, no matter what. And all it did was print.
Yep.
Versus one of these all-in-ones that you constantly...
printer, fax machine, it'll, you know, wash your unmentionables.
And they constantly lose their IP addresses. They have to be updated. You got about a 30-70 chance of it actually printing. If you let it sit there for 6 months without using it and you go to print, there's a really good chance it's just not going to print. And you're going to spend the next 3 hours troubleshooting what's wrong with it. So anyway, today's episode, kind of disjointed. My dog is in a mood today, man. So she's now sitting up there in the hotel room because she's being very defensive and territorial, very uncooperative. I knew she was wound up, right? Like, every day when I come down here, I try to walk her around the campground once to let her burn out that energy because she's, you know, she's a two-year-old,
right?
And she's super excited. We didn't get that in today, but that's no excuse. When I tell her to stop barking, she knows to stop barking, and she just was not doing it. This is not her space.
Your dog's an anarchist, man.
Well, no, she doesn't get to be an anarchist. She's my dog, and she's going to do as I damn well tell her to do. That's the point of having an
anarchy dog.
My cats can be anarchists all they want, but my dog is not a cat and is not going to act like one. She's going to act like a dog, and she's normally very, very well behaved, but for whatever reason, I mean, it's because we didn't get that walk in. So she's up in the hotel room now, and she's not. She's in timeout, and she's smart enough to know that she's in timeout, because literally as I took her away, she was barking and being uncooperative. I was like, nope, come on. So now she's sitting up there going, oh, I guess I probably should have listened, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
So if she keeps this up, she'll just get to come out for walks and playtime, and then she'll just spend her whole park fest in the hotel room. But obviously, it's my fault I didn't get that walk in with her. We'll get that walk in today, and she'll be so much better afterwards. So, but for the time being, she hasn't got that walk, so she gets to play with cats. And she likes the cat, so she's fine. Yeah. But, I mean, she wants to be territorial. She can be territorial of the motel room. Like, bark at people who come in there, girl. You're doing great.
There are a number of dogs here, and folks are, you know, all of the dogs so far, I haven't seen anything, you know, in the meetings of other dogs or when people walk dogs by other dogs, not just yours, but other dogs. Like, all the dogs seem to be well-behaved and well-managed.
Yeah, and she's super chill. She's met most of the dogs here, hasn't had any real issue. There was someone at the wedding yesterday who had a dog that should not have been there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit aggressive and growly and barky at people.
Is it the little punting dog?
No, it was a larger one.
Okay.
I think he was a boxer, maybe. He may have been a boxer. Anyway, it seemed to me like if it was my dog, I wouldn't have brought him to an event that contained a bunch of dogs. Of course, by that point, I had walked Azria repeatedly, so she was extremely well-behaved, just sort of sat beside me the entire time. But that's not today. And again, this is all my fault for waking up late and then having miscellaneous issues that I had to deal with this morning, on top of a correction that I need to make about yesterday. I said that Roger Paxton was in charge of the Porcupine Freedom Festival in the year that Ian got banned. I'm pretty sure that part is true, but the way I said it, it made it sound like Roger Paxton was the one who got Ian banned. And that's not the case, and I did not mean to suggest that at all. Roger Paxton actually was the one who fought for Ian to get unbanned. Roger was the one who went through the meetings, the minutes of the Free State Project meetings, to determine that Ian had only been banned for a year and not in perpetuity. So Roger was like single-handedly responsible for Ian being unbanned.
Right.
But I do believe he was the one who organized the festival on the year that Ian was banned.
Okay.
I could be mistaken, but that was my first year, and I didn't know what was going on, but Roger and Jessica did a Q&A at the pavilion down there, and I know that several people, notably Mikey, who now himself has been banned, held their feet to the flames over this and asked, yo, I want to know, where is Ian Freeman? Why isn't Ian Freeman here?
Right.
Will you please tell us why Ian Freeman is not allowed at Porkfest? Right. Like, we're not answering that next question. Right.
Not answering that?
Yeah. They said something to that effect. Yeah. And like I said, it was my first year here, so I didn't really even understand what was going on.
I wasn't here that year, so I can't speak to it personally.
But I knew that something was off, something wasn't right, and I think I knew of Ian at that point, but we had never actually spoken. But so Roger did not get Ian banned. And as it turns out, Carla Garrick was, in fact, one of the people who voted in favor of banning Ian. And I suggested that she didn't do anything authoritarian during her role as the Porcupine Freedom Fest organizer. And that's still true. She wasn't one of the organizers at the time that she voted to have Ian banned.
Hmm.
But while she was an organizer, to my knowledge, she didn't do anything. Like, there is a long list of people who are now banned. Like, last night, Someone tried to come to ForkFest.
Yeah.
And there's no controversy around this person. This person hasn't been banned.
Right.
But he arrived late, and he insisted that he had a ForkFest ticket. But he was told that they weren't going to allow him to check in. And as far as I can tell, they thought that he was one of the people who had been banned and that he was trying to gate crash the event. That he was trying to check in early and then overstay his welcome during the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's my best guess.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not going to say exactly what happened here. And it was Crosby, the owner of the campground. So you can't be like, Crosby, why aren't you letting this? It's his campground.
Yeah, I guess in the end, it's his campground. He can do what he wants.
Yeah. So the speculation is going around that now people being banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival are inadvertently also banned from ForkFest.
Which is not the case, because ForkFest doesn't have a banned list. ForkFest doesn't have an organizer. ForkFest doesn't require ticketing.
Right, but Rogers Campground is owned by Crosby.
Yes.
And if Crosby is enforcing the Porcupine Freedom Festival ban list across the entire campground year-round, then getting banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival is a ban from Rogers Campground. And I don't think that's right. And I don't think that's what was meant to be the case. I really think it was a misunderstanding, because right now, off the top of my head, Mikey, Rochelle, Kelly, Footloose, Christopher Cantwell are all banned. And there's probably a few more. But no one in the Rogers Campground office has any idea what those four people look like.
There's no mugshots hanging up?
No, there aren't. And I've been in there repeat every day. I go in there to get two bags of ice, because when you're in the motel, you get two bags of ice, and I need those to keep stuff cool. And there's no mugshots of these people. They probably have a list with their names on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no way of knowing if someone banned tries to check in under a different name.
Right.
So I suspect that's what was going on.
Yeah, it seems to me the reasonable conclusion is that there was just some sort of misunderstanding.
But the guy has since been allowed in. He is now officially here. And amazingly, he did have a Porcupine Freedom Festival ticket. And I don't know why being unable to pull up the email saying, hey, look, here's my ticket, wasn't sufficient.
Yeah.
But I guess in theory, like Mikey, the snack Jew, he calls himself the snack Jew, by the way, would be able to pull up his own ForkFest ticket and say, no, see, look, I'm allowed. Mikey, by the way, expected to arrive today. I was expecting him earlier, but he is arriving today, apparently. And, man, that's going to be interesting. I neither condone nor condemn this. I am just reporting on it. I did initially offer him a space here at RV46 at the Free Talk Live site. I did. I said, hey, you, if you want to set your vending stuff up here at the FTL site, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make sure it's safe or anything. It'll be as safe as it is anywhere else, but you're welcome to set it up here. I didn't say during ForkFest only, but I also did not say I would have to make you take it down for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, right? He doesn't have to be here. His stall is entirely unmanned.
Yeah.
In theory, he could set his stuff up, leave, and then come back on the 26th and collect his money.
Right, yeah.
I doubt he would do that, and I tend to think it would be unwise to leave these buckets of cash laying around for that length of time.
He does have the self-checkout system, though.
Right. Yeah. It's all self-serve. I'm interested. I brought some new flags this year to the FTL site.
I see that. I'm really digging the pentagram.
Yes, that is the Church of Satan emblem. And, of course, behind you is an LGBTQ pride flag. I'm going to move that one because right now it's partially covering up the Free Talk Live sign, but it's going to require me doing a lot of work. And I wanted to get the show started recording before I got into any of that stuff, because I like having time to wake up and get my day going before I do a bunch of like physical stuff. So I suspect that LGBTQ sign will disappear at some point. I'm so convinced this is going to happen that I want to ask Matt Roach for a trail cam.
Oh, I see.
So that we can point it at it, because it's not going to survive. There's a reason I hung it right there at the front, right, instead of the one over here on the side. People probably aren't going to. Plus, it's a rainbow. It's going to get noticed. And some butthurt conservative is going to do something about it. Or, if it doesn't get stolen, it's going to get vandalized and slashed with knives or something like that. I'm willing to bet
I hope not.
That a seems 25er gold back that happens. Of course, no one's going to take that bet, but I'm willing to bet that.
Seems like something that, well, shouldn't happen amongst a crew of libertarians.
Not everyone here is a libertarian.
I understand, but still.
And that's part of
the non-aggression principle should permeate the campground.
It should, but with the Porcupine Freedom Festival inviting people who are specifically not libertarians, and some of them explicitly threatening violence.
Maybe RFK will come over here and slash it.
I bet the RFK will, but Vivek might.
One of
Maj might.
Yeah.
Or any of the other conservatarians who like Maj might do it. And I will be sad to see that happen, but this flag wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of the conservatives trying to make, trans people and LGBTQ people feel unwelcome throughout the United States. I'm going to make them feel unwelcome at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We've never flown an LGBT flag here. Why would we? We've never flown a flag of Satan here. Of course, why would we?
Well, because you're here.
Well, yeah, but I've been here for 7 years now, right? And I've been here at the FTL site for four or five years.
The pentagram flag hasn't been here the whole time since I've known you.
Yeah, I kind of am too. Other people fly them around here though, and up here in the campground, people are beginning to roll it, and it's fantastic to watch. People are beginning to set up.
Yep.
It's very, I'm surprised that there aren't more people here. Like the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it starts tomorrow, and the Wormtown guys have not made it yet. They have a big thing, a big tent that they have to set up, and they're not here.
Yeah, well, and the tent where I'm hosting my EP thing, listening party, pre-release thing, we haven't set it up yet, so whenever we're done doing this show, hopefully the things that are necessary arrive, and I've got some extra people to help put it up, and then we can get that thing going. But it's still on schedule, as far as I know, for 8:30 p.m. If you're listening to this right now, it's probably already happened and you missed it.
Not yet. If you're listening to this right now, then it's happening in about an hour.
Well, I mean, if you're listening to the recording on Free Talk Live.
Right.
Right.
Then
yeah.
It'll happen in about an hour. This should play tonight.
Oh, okay.
I thought this was
another day.
It might have to be put off another day.
I don't know what day it is, really.
I'm anticipating that we'll be able to finish the full show at, before 4 or 5 o'clock, get it uploaded, and get it played on live tonight.
Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but my guess is that. But there are people beginning to roll in. I'm surprised, again, that the Wormtown guys aren't here, because they have a lot of stuff to set up. But maybe this is... I haven't been to the pre-party at the Porcupine Freedom Festival in quite a while.
Yeah.
Because I usually stay for ForkFest after, for the last, four, 3 years, that's what I did.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing too. Because
ForkFest
was after the Porcupine Freedom Festival the previous years. This year it moved back to the front of it, the pre-funk. So it's a bit different experience for me anyway.
It is. I remember coming to the Porcupine Freedom Festival beforehand, but I don't remember what it was like watching it set up. I would have expected all of the big vendors to be here and to be already set up by this point, so that when the doors open tomorrow, they're good to go to start vending. But that's not the case.
It's right now, it's what, afternoon, and there are people rolling in that weren't here yesterday, so I expect as we sit here and do the show, we'll see more and more people rolling in.
You're coming in, and of course you can drop my thing. I would look at RV 46 here, because we're going to be here all week, all the way to the weekend. And of course, again, tonight, you're just looking at more, it already happened. We'll talk more about that. There's more coming up here from our
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. At least four people are dead after shootings in three different states. Two people were killed and three others are injured after a shooting near the Beyond Wonderland EDM Festival in Washington State. Presidential hopeful Asa Hutchinson is urging fellow Republicans to back off from accusations that the Department of Justice is being weaponized. The former Arkansas governor said the GOP needs to go back to being the rule of law party. The chair of the House Intelligence Committee says China is feeling the heat from the U.S. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Republican Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio talked about a bipartisan committee House Speaker Kevin McCarthy formed to deal with the threat of China. The SEC and Binance are agreeing to avoid a full freeze of the platform and keep American customer assets in the U.S. Jerry Barmesh, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
The final day of ForkFest here at Rogers Campground. Well, it depends on how you look at it, really. Because ever since the Porcupine Freedom Festival decentralized, ForkFest has been this thing that takes place where ForkFest is magical, right? It is whatever and wherever and however and whenever you want
like
it to be.
Schrodinger's Festival.
It is.
If you don't observe it, it doesn't exist. But as soon as you do observe it, it exists.
So there are good arguments to make that the entire campground is ForkFest from June the 15th through June the 25th.
Yep.
And that the Porcupine Freedom Festival simply overlaps with ForkFest during seven of those days, and that the Porcupine Freedom Festival is, by and large, something that takes place, quote, at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
And I know that the Porcupine Freedom Festival, they really hate that description of things, but there's so much controversy around this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival that, like, I mean, that's predicted, right? It's a bunch of libertarians, and libertarians love infighting. That's one of the reasons that Free Talk Live is able to exist, right? We will find the most minor nuance.
And pick it apart.
Yes.
Like, a thousand different ways.
A few weeks ago, Bonnie, Ian, and I got into a lengthy, like, it took up an entire segment discussion about what is and isn't aggression, and whether tapping someone on the shoulder in public constituted aggression.
Oh, when you're like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You tap somebody.
And, of course, Ian and I's position was that, like, technically, literally, touching someone without their consent is aggression, right? It doesn't matter that you're not hurting them.
Well, and, like, legally, too, like, that's assault.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
You know, well, I mean, like, not to me, but in the you know, strictest adherence to the legal terminology, touching someone without their consent is assault.
That's That's literally true. And the point that Bonnie made was that, no, it's not assault, because by going into public, you acknowledge, you consent to the possibility that someone might touch you. And it was sort of a social contract-y argument, except it wasn't, obviously. She never would argue for a social contract, but I don't think she's necessarily wrong. Going out in public, you do sort of consent to interact with people to some extent. And I don't know how else you could characterize things, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, that's what we did. Full segment long argument about what is and isn't aggression. Of course, we have callers who love doing this. Skeeter, in particular. Good Lord.
Skyler? Scooter?
Yeah, Skeeter's what?
Yeah, no, I don't call him his actual...
Okay. Well, I do, and...
Because he has many different names. He is called under many different... he's called as Brian. He's called as...
Has he?
Yeah, a couple of different names. And so I know exactly who he is. And you can usually tell because at some point during his call, he seems to whine a little bit.
He whines the entire time. That's all he does. He's like David from New Mexico. He's got a stick up his rear, and all he wants to do is call and rehash and tell us how upset he is about that stick. And it's like, dude, just pull it out, and we can carry on instead of arguing about something that happened two or three weeks ago.
I don't think he's aware that he can pull it out.
I guess not, right? But that all started because he wanted to call in, and he said, "Yo, you guys are being libertarians, saying that, you know, you stand by principles, and I object.
Yeah.
What is aggression?" And that was how it sort of began. And I don't remember exactly what the discussion happened. It was said after that, because this was like 3 weeks ago, and... It's a weird situation. These parasocial relationships that we have with some of our listeners and some of our callers, like Ricky, he called in recently and said, "Well, you know me, brother Ian." And Ian goes, "No, Ricky, I don't know you."
Right, yeah, exactly.
"You're just a caller who calls. You hear us for 3 hours a day, but we hear you for maybe 3 minutes."
Right.
"And we don't know you. You know us," right? That's the nature of the parasocial relationship. It's all one direction.
Yeah.
But people like Ricky and Skeeter and stuff, because they listen to the show regularly, and that's great. We love that. But you've got to keep that perspective that we don't know you, right? I feel like we know Sarah from New Mexico pretty well, right? But she's been a chronic caller for years.
That's true. Decades, maybe. Well, yeah. Maybe not decades, but
maybe a decade.
Yeah, maybe one decade.
But we don't know our callers generally. Some of them, like Alu Axelman or Dave Ridley, yeah, we know you because you're libertarians living here in New Hampshire.
Right, and if you have some, you know, libertarian thing going on, you know, Alu's an author, you know, Ernie does his show, right, all that kind of stuff. So, like, we know those folks.
Ernie and his love bus arrived yesterday. Actually, he's moved. He's normally back there in the campground.
Yeah.
But this year, he's
a little more up front.
Yeah. He's like right here, right outside of Agoura Valley. I think right about where little Zoe's normally is. But they're usually in a different aisle.
None but love, Ernie.
Yeah. Little Zoe's is not here yet. I believe your poles have arrived.
Oh, nice.
For the big army tent that you are putting up for the airing of your album tonight, the debut of your album. That's happening at 8:30. And I don't know, if you're listening here, it is about to happen. So stop the show and play it later. We do have a podcast for a reason. And come to RV 47 and listen to the airing of Captain's new EP.
I put a bunch of work into it, too, so I do a horrible job at really, like, you know, advertising all of the details. Some of the things that I can tell you is there are three videos. I was only intending to make one music video, and I did make one, and it came out very professionally.
Nice.
I had some help from Vincent Moore, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, who is a video guy. He went to school for all that stuff. Vincent was one of the first people to acknowledge and enjoy. He, like, literally sought out some of my previously made music and was like, "I really like this stuff. Can I have more?" And asked me for, like, links to other stuff, and I sent him all that stuff.
Fantastic. fantastic.
So I wanted somebody who not only had the skills to do the video editing, but was enthusiastic about it as well.
Right, that's ideal. And that's what, one of the reasons that we love Riley Blake so much. You know,
yes.
The person who does the FTL Digest, he does this as an, it's a work of passion for him because he loves the show.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to Riley, too, for doing the Digest version of Beard Talk Live.
Okay, nice.
And you can find that on beard.freetalklive.com. I recently acquired beardtalklive.com and pointed it to Resolve at that same website. So either,
okay.
either address you go to. But he does an introduction to the Digest version of Beard Talk Live.
He does that for the FTL Digest.
That is a
well.
Must hear. It's
oh,
different
really?
Than what he does for FTL.
Well, yeah.
We do a thing that I can't say on the radio. So I'm not going to say, but we do a thing on Beard Talk Live, and he does his own version of it as an introduction to the Digest version of Beard Talk Live. So if you haven't heard it, go seek that out. Riley, you the man, thank you so much for your work.
Yeah, Riley is awesome. He deserves so much props for what he does. Like, and I don't know how... Riley is blind. And, like, he does this. He edits the Digest, mm-hmm. and he clips it, and he makes it listenable and good. He does it without the ability to see.
Right, and you and I have both done software editing of audio.
Yeah, I do audio auditing every day here.
Yeah, you're doing it
but
right
I
now.
I can see the files.
Right, and so I can't imagine how you would do that. I know he has special gear that you know they use for folks who you know don't have sight, but I don't understand how the interface works and how he knows where he's at, how he drops markers for stuff. I have no idea, but. Kudos to him for figuring it out.
Yep. So if you want to donate to the FDL Digest, if you prefer that version of the show, and I kind of do because Free Talk Live is a long show, right? It boils down to about 2 hours of audio each day, but if you're watching the video, then it's effectively 3 hours, or right. if you're listening on the radio, it's 3 hours, and that's 21 hours of content every week.
Yep.
That's a lot of content. And one of the things I tried stressing to Mark recently, because Mark wanted to do this thing and get people to make more videos or whatever, I'm like, Mark, we don't need more content. We do more content than any other show on the planet. We put out 21
hours.
21
hours is a lot. Most podcasts are doing an hour, 2 hours, tops.
Most of it, I looked it up. It's 30 minutes is about the average podcast. And they do one episode a week on average. And we do 21 hours a week on average. Well, if you count the podcast, then it's 14 hours right. a week. But that's still 28 times more content than any other podcast. Well, you have to really, really love Free Talk Live to listen to every episode of the podcast.
And if you do, thank you.
Yeah, but I think that's a tall ask. Right. There's a podcast that I listen to that I absolutely love called Data Over Dogma. And it's about 30 minutes long and it airs once a week. And that's what I'm used to finding out of podcasts.
So you said Data Over Dogma, and now I have a picture of Brent Spiner sitting down to watch a Kevin Smith movie.
Brent Spiner. I know that name.
He played Data on Star Trek.
Yes.
So Data sitting down
nice.
To watch Kevin Smith Dogma?
I'm going to shoot that idea to them because I support them on Patreon. One of the guys who created is Dan McClellan, who I've talked about repeatedly here on the show. He's a religious scholar and a Mormon, and he's an expert on the Old Testament and just the Bible and history in general. And for whatever reason, I mean, because I grew up steeped in this stuff and it traumatized me and affected me for the rest of my life,
sure.
I find the subject of Christianity and Christian history tremendously fascinating. Like that will, if I get the opportunity to order specific books while I'm in prison, those will be among the ones I mostly order.
Okay. You hear that, everybody?
Well, I expect other people to buy me other stuff, so I don't know what's going to happen when I'm in prison. What is that clock at now? 8 days?
9 days, 51 minutes, and 11 seconds.
Yeah, it's getting there, man. That's the day, that's the hour upon which I go to prison. Every time my phone rings and it's an unrecognized number, I'm like, is this it? Is this the call? Is this the one that's going to tell me where I'm going?
I don't envy you, man. I can't even imagine what that's like to just be waiting on that.
It's not something... I'm almost in a state of denial about it, right? And I know it's going to happen, and I know it's coming, and it's barely a week away, but it's not something that is actively in my brain. It's always in the back of my mind, but it's never, like, actively taking up my thoughts.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and it probably won't settle in until after you're inside and, you know, a couple days go by. You get, you know, some time to yourself, so to speak.
That is going to be rough. I did spend some time this morning thinking about that, and that was one of the reasons that, you know, that was one of the minor issues I had this morning, is that I got deeply involved in thinking about the reality of what it's going to literally be like to get checked in and to be assigned to a cell. And if I'm put in a men's prison, then my cellmate is going to hate that. He's going to hate sharing a room with me, because the other guys are just going to give him crap about it. Like, you're staying with that freaking weirdo over there. Sucks for you. And, like, that's not going to be a good place for me.
It is entirely possible that there's some other weirdo already in prison that they bunk you up with.
That's true. And I don't know if that's better or worse. And then it's not any better, as we mentioned yesterday, for me to go to women's prison where I have exactly the same issue.
They don't have a weirdo section in prison?
They don't, because this is what a lot of people suggested. Well, I don't know why they don't just take all the trans people and put them in a special trans prison, because that's discrimination and it's segregation and it's not right to do. That's like saying, take all the gay people or take all the black people or whatever and put them in their own separate prison.
But usually governments don't care about that.
They do if the public does.
I guess if the public can you know, make some sort of a stink or a spectacle out of it, the state's not going to want to do it.
So it's going to be interesting to see how all of this shakes out. And I should know sometime this week. And as soon as I know, I will be talking about it here on Free Talk Live. Actually, as soon as I know, I'll be like reading about it and reading about the prison and all that stuff. But for those who have not been following the news, Ian's sentencing hearing was postponed an additional month.
Till August something?
I think the 17th
at
10 a.m. I could be wrong on the date, but it's the same day of the month, only in August instead of July.
So I think it is the 17th,
And that's going to take place at 10 a.m., and I'm torn on whether I think it's going to get pushed back again.
I think it will, and the only reason I think it will is because there's some unresolved stuff with the judge that I think needs to happen before sentencing can commence. That's only if the state follows their own, things that they've written down that they're supposed to do. And so my guess is that there's going to be some more legal hoops to jump through before they can proceed with the actual sentencing. But who knows? I mean, it's the government.
In the meantime, of course, you can go to letters.freetalklive.com, and there you can find step-by-step instructions on what you can do to help Ian, because as we mentioned, I'm going to prison, but that doesn't mean Ian is going to prison, right? They could very well give Ian, you know, probation or supervised release with time served or whatever.
Right.
I don't think it's impossible that they sentence Ian in a lesser way than they did me, right? And I wouldn't begrudge him for that, obviously. I'm hoping he doesn't go to prison. I'm hoping he's not sentenced to prison. They're like, hey, this guy, he's just so influential, and he's such a positive figure in his community that we just cannot justify putting him in prison. Maybe house arrest for 2 years, and who knows? The possibilities are endless. There's no reason for the government to resort to prison as its default punishment.
Yeah, especially for supposed crimes where there are no victims. In other words, no property and no people were hurt. This is acknowledged by the federal government themselves, that there is no victim. Yet, they're trying to put them in a cage.
Well, I'm not sure they acknowledge that there is no victim. I thought near the end and near the beginning of the trial, they were making out like Ian did have some sort of connection with the fraudsters.
Well, the judge said, the harm is the harm. What does that mean?
He did say that during my sentencing hearing.
What is that? Oh, that was during... Oh, maybe I'm confusing.
Because the prosecutors were arguing that what I was doing was money laundering. And, of course, my attorney was like, no, look, for it to be money laundering, you have to know that the money is from illegal proceeds.
So it's the same judge in yours and his case. And for a judge to say something as nonsensical as, the harm is the harm. It's like, no, dude, harm needs to be proven, right? The prosecution needed to bring evidence that shows that a person or a piece of property was harmed, which they did not do.
No, but they sort of did. They did bring out, evidence that people were harmed. They just did not make the connection to Ian.
Right,
they had the one guy there who bought, I think, $640,000 worth of Bitcoin for me. Harold is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. This is one of the big sore points I had with this whole sentencing thing. The prosecutors in their sentencing memorandum said, Aria has shown no remorse for the victims who lost money by buying Bitcoin from her. And as I read them, I'm like, you evil, evil monsters. This is the first I'm hearing of any people being defrauded and buying Bitcoin from me.
Right.
I knew this had happened with Ian, but like, I don't know how many of my customers were legitimate people just trying to buy Bitcoin,
right,
and how many of them were victims of fraud.
Right.
And the prosecutors didn't email me and tell me this. They didn't call me and tell me this. They didn't tell my attorney. How in the hell was I supposed to know that some of the people who bought Bitcoin from me turned out to be the victims of fraud? No one told me this. How can I possibly show remorse for something that I don't know about?
Well, and if you apply the state's logic to really anything else, right? So let's say there's some guy who's trying to defraud an old lady out of, I don't know, Coca-Cola Classic. Right?
Okay.
And so the old lady is like, okay, yes, I'll get some Coca-Cola Classic for you. And she goes down to the convenience store and buys some Coca-Cola Classic and gives it to the guy and is out that amount of money. Right? Do the feds prosecute the convenience store for selling the Coca-Cola Classic? No,
no,
they don't. And that's their logic. That's what they're doing to both you and Ian and the rest of the Crypto Six, is they're prosecuting you for providing a product to somebody who was a willing customer, right, who went jumped through all of the, like, I think you guys were more stringent than actual KYC with
we
your
were.
Procedures. So,
demonstrably
like,
so. Everyone who bought Bitcoin from us had to make a handwritten letter stating their name, Aria Demesso, and buying X amount of Bitcoin from Ian Freeman in the amount of this USD via wire transfer on this day. They had to sign it. They had to take a picture of themselves with the note.
Yep.
And provide us with an ID so we could look at that person, look at the note, look at the ID, and verify that, yes, this person is intentionally buying this amount of Bitcoin from me.
Now, I've gone through actual KYC on a crypto exchange.
Right.
And I found it to be less strict than what you and Ian were requiring of the customers who purchased Bitcoin from you.
Yes, for the most part, all I've ever had to do was provide my ID and usually a bill or something like that.
I've only had to enter, you know, like name and, you know, that kind of stuff and then upload a picture of my driver's license.
That's usually how it started, but at a certain point, they were requiring more from me. Like,
I think I had to put in a mailing address, too.
I had to provide a proof of source of funds to Kraken at one point.
Wow.
And just all sorts of crap. But at that point, they have a threshold. I was doing the Kraken Pro, first of all, so I wasn't just a normal personal account.
Okay.
So I had to, you know, I had bought maybe $200,000 worth of Bitcoin from them at that point, and they were like, hey, look, we want to know, where is this $200,000 coming from? So I had a bookkeeper write something up and get this, and like, this is the case, and this is the money, and this is all fine. And they were like, okay, this is fine, this checks out. But ultimately, Kraken closed my account anyway. Coinbase closed my account anyway. Coinbase didn't close my account until after the hearing. It's going to be very... I'm so thankful to look around and see the Bitcoin vending machines that are proliferated throughout New Hampshire, at least, and the United States in general, because it's... None of these exchanges like Coinbase and Binance and Kraken, if they survive the onslaught from the U.S. government...
We'll see if that happens.
They're never going to do business with me. I'm a known Bitcoin salesperson. They know that. I was a cryptocurrency exchange. I was a competitor. Why would they do business with me? So it's going to be very difficult going forward for me to acquire cryptocurrency except through the Coinstar machines and the random Bitcoin vending machines that are on. But on that subject, right, there are Bitcoin vending machines everywhere. There's even one here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Or if there isn't right now, there will be. There's one here every year. And I got into a discussion last year with the guy about this. All of his paperwork is in order. He's good to go. But one of the people who wrote a letter on Ian's behalf also had all of their paperwork in order.
Okay.
We had on Risen from, I think he works on Ethereum, on the show a few weeks ago, and he had all of his paperwork in order. His was a really interesting conversation because I think he pled guilty to operating an unlicensed money transmitting business, and he was sentenced to, I want to say it was 12 months, and ultimately he served about 6 months of that. And That's what I would like to serve if I'm going to serve any amount. I've said to say 18 months, and it varies, right, based on what I read on any given day, how long I think I'm going to be in prison.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm leaning toward 12 to 15 months. But because of the First Step Act and these other things, previously, prior to the First Step Act, in order to...
I don't even know what that is.
It came about in 2021. But prior to it, in order to get released early, the warden of the prison had to speak up on your behalf and try to get you released early.
Whoa.
The First Step Act removes that hurdle from it, where you just sort of can apply for it automatically.
Okay.
Or whatever. I don't know the exact process. Most people don't know the exact process. You don't learn these things until you're there in prison.
Sure.
But a lot of it has to do with getting a college degree or studying or there's all sorts of programs that you can get involved in. I'm sort of looking forward to that. The problem is if I was going to get another degree right now, it would be in like ancient religious studies, honestly, because that's the topic I'm most interested in that I would want to seriously learn more about. I would say physics. But I remember majoring in that, and I remember how much I hated the calculus. I love the calculus, actually. It's what taught me how elegant calculus and mathematics really are.
That's beyond me, man. I was told there would be no math.
Right, fair enough. But I'm not good at it, and I didn't like having to do it. So that was why I switched out of majoring in physics. Anyway.
Dude, I failed algebra twice. But I aced geometry, because if it's tangible, I get it. If it's this sort of like, you know, vague, cloudy mathematics, you know, sort of in the sky, you know, that you have to sort of kind of guess, I guess, is what I'm getting at with algebra, right? It's all this, it's all fictional probabilities and mathematics in there. So if I can't have a practical application for it, it just sort of escapes me.
Fair enough. But the difference with calculus is that it gives you real-world cases for it. So it calculus was the point at which math stopped being that vague theoretical thing for me, and it started becoming something representative of the actual real world.
Okay.
But it was super complicated and not much fun. And, of course, you're not getting a degree in any sort of physics, general relativity or quantum theory or whatever, or acoustics. The school that I went to had two physics programs. One was general relativity, and the other was an audio acoustic physics program.
Yeah.
But you're not getting a degree in that in prison. In prison, your options, you can probably get a two-year degree, an associate's or a bachelor's, but like the physics and the biblical study things, those are master's and bachelor's levels of specificity, and I guess I could get the associate's and then come out and try to finish, but I don't know what I'm going to find when I get out of prison.
Right.
Artificial intelligence is going to take off in the near future. Cryptocurrency is going to do its own thing. I don't know what's going to happen with Ian and how FreeTalk Live is going to be when I get out, or where Mark will be. So, like, I have no ability to plan what life is going to be like after. But there's more coming up here, because I know what tomorrow is going to be like here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Come hang out with us. It's FreeTalk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.